Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Peace Portal Media Network.
Welcome to the Peace Portal. This is Stephen speaking, and I'm your host today, and I'm very happy to be speaking with David Many Hands of the Many Hands community, or I guess you go by either David or Many Hands. Is that right?
I go by Many Hands primarily, yes.
Thank you for being with us here today, Many Hands. So you have the Many Hands community. I've had the pleasure to be out to the property where a lot of things take place. And I also know that you work with some of the other organizations locally, like Peace Villages and some others. I appreciate your being on the show today. How about getting us started by sharing the concept of Many Hands community and giving us an introduction?
Well, thank you, Stephen. Many Hands community is a collaboration of nonprofit organizations that come together with the primary interest of developing community. We do that, at this point, we do that through working with teens. We begin by helping teens and other children to understand their basis of personal power, to how to walk in balance, a balance between their heart, mind, body, and spirit, and then to take their personal efficacy, their personal access to power, and take it into the community at large to do projects that they're passionate about. I teach at the Network Charter School currently, collaborating with them and with Peace Village directly. I teach a class called Circles of Change, where we teach those concepts, and we've had wonderful, wonderful results. Kids working with Food for Lane County, kids that have created, well, they pursue their passion. So we have everything from kids that have created jam space where they take other kids that are interested in music and developing groups, bands, and doing some fundraising for other nonprofits by running jam space. There's been a plethora of different projects that kids have done, but the key is to really instill in the youth an understanding of their interconnectedness to the community at large, whether you want to call that civic responsibility or what have you. The kids are really quick and adept to understanding that concept and taking it on. Many Hands Community is located out in the South Hills of Eugene, Oregon, and we have secured a plot of land, about 77 acres large, where we are going to be building villages. Organizations will come and they will build their villages here on the land so that should a child be interested in community awareness education, they could go over to the Many Hands Community Village, or if they are interested in some of the nonviolent communication and things such as that the Peace Village offers, they could follow the sign down the path to the Peace Village. And ultimately, we'd like to see, you know, at least 4 villages here on the land. Currently, up to this point, we have had, it's been a place for community to come and represent itself. We've had Native American ceremonies occur here, ceremonies that originate from many different walks of life, South America, Lakota, Onondaga, etc. And we've even had, for example, we had a Celtic festival here at one point. And so it really is a place for community to show up. It is community driven, and it is, it's what the community wants at large, and that's what we'll do here. The educational community center that we're starting here on the land is going to be contracting out to schools in the 4J system or charter schools such as the Network Charter School, things such as that. And it's always, we do have to follow some of the funding trends, unfortunately, in this climate that becomes more and more difficult. However, through community support, we would like to see an equal representation of the community at large. For example, we're doing a lot of work right now with at-risk youth. And however, we would like to be doing more with people of all socioeconomic status, all races, all religions, all beliefs, all orientations, things such as that, so that we get kids here that are a representation of the community at large.
Yes. Well, that's part of the reason for doing these shows. I know from firsthand knowledge that you really provide an open space. People are invited to the sweats without any kind of prejudice. And so it's not really a matter of it not being accessible, at least here in Eugene, because you're offering it. It's more a matter of facilitating, really, getting out there enough or getting people to participate a little bit more.
Yes, and here I'd like to mention that, you know, this is a place where ceremonies can happen such as that, but it's very important to understand that there's never, ever a charge for ceremony in any way, shape, or form. And those are really extracurricular to the curriculum that we provide.
Yeah, I know you guys, I think, are structured as a 501c3.
Yes.
All right, so people can make tax-deductible donations to support the work you're doing. I'm really like what you do because it seems to me you guys act more like an interfaith ministry, just in the way you approach what you're doing. The same, kind of the same as with Peace Villages, as we were discussing with Darren the other day, this incorporating a level of spirit to our education.
Oh, absolutely, and we do that through, rather than teaching a particular religion or belief system, we invite people, you know, elders from different communities, you know, priests or ministers or elders or that sort of thing, to come and speak about what community looks like within their culture, within their communities, and what coming of age would look like in their cultures and their communities. And the interfaith aspect is really important to us. As you well know, we're starting in collaboration with several UCC ministers and rabbis and things such as that, people such as that. We are starting an interfaith rites of passage curriculum, of which you're involved.
Yes. Actually, for our listeners that come often and know about what's happening at peaceportal.mobi, there's a new group there, the Lane Interfaith Teen Support, and that's something that actually David or Many Hands and I, along with actually Darren also from Peace Villages, who was on the other day, and many of the other people here in our community, all working together to provide an example. This is just one of the many projects, and I'm hoping we're going to get to do a weekend on your land as part of that. I think that would just, it's, boy, would that be fun.
Absolutely. That's why we're here.
So, with the education program, are there things that are happening this year, or is that next year?
With the education program?
Well, with the school.
We are piloting out right now through the Peace Village contract, and that's where I teach that Circles of Change class. And so we are in our second year of developing and teaching that curriculum. We're going to be having students come out, and part of the interest of this land and this place, we call it the Butterfly Forest sometimes, the interest is to really develop an awareness of community, which includes the environment, which includes all the things that impact us as human beings. And so one of the things that we're very interested in doing is showing a model for sustainable living. We'd like the buildings that are here at Many Hands Community to be representative of many of the buildings that are out there in the world, but that are environmentally, you know, have less of an impact, less of a foot.
Now you're getting into an area that's really exciting for me.
Yeah.
You know, the new architecture.
Oh, absolutely. New and old.
Or actually, I guess even maybe if I call it new based on the old.
Yes. Yes. And there's so many exciting directions to take that. There's like cob construction, straw bale construction, earth plaster. I'd like to eventually have a longhouse here for the native cultures. I'd like to have earthen dwellings. There's a whole realm of new construction that's come out in the last 20 years that that we'll be looking into. And this kind of construction really needs to be upheld by the community, because the banks are a little hesitant towards doing that kind of construction. And it takes a little effort to get the county to get on board with that. We've been doing our best and moving forward in that direction. But this is going to take some funding from grantors and personal donations from the community at large.
Well, I'm looking forward to when the Free Digital Universe charity fundraiser launches so that we can start funding some of the key projects on Peace Portal like your own, you know, so we can eventually throw away our tin cup.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, anyone listening who likes what Many Hands is talking about, you can go to the manyhandscommunity.org
Correct.
Website and contact them directly. Or can they make a donation there, or do they need to call you? I didn't check. You have to excuse me.
Well, they can. The ways to be able to make a donation are outlined on the website itself.
Great.
Absolutely.
Okay.
One of the exciting things about building with these natural building materials is that it harkens back to a day when people came together to build buildings, like a barn raising.
Mm-hmm.
Teenagers today don't really know what a barn raising is. They seem surprised when I bring that up, that an entire community of people will come together and build a barn for someone. In this case, we are bringing youth together right now. And in the spring, when the weather dries out a bit, we'll be starting a cob construction here on the land. And it really is an opportunity for, you know, different peoples to come together and get to know each other and get to create something. It's almost like raising it up out of the earth when you're working with mud and straw and clay like that. it's a beautiful process, and it really does a lot to bring people together.
Yeah, I love the Cobb houses. In fact, one of the ministers in our own ministry was down in Cerro Gordo, you know, where the original Cobb houses were down there by Cottage Grove. And every time I go there, I'm impressed and thinking, why aren't we doing this? You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's so inexpensive as well as practical, and to live in something that still, unlike Portland cement, has some kind of vibrancy and life force to it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's amazing because you can utilize recycled materials, like down in the Cobb Cottage Company. I believe they have a beautiful, you know, it's a one-bedroom cottage there that's two stories tall, and the entire structure cost them $500.
Yeah, it's on the home page. Well, it's actually in our library, but you'll see it on the home page, actually promoted at Peace Portal.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. That one, along with some of like Kalili's work and things of that nature. I talked with Kevin Hodges the other day from, he works a lot with AlternativeEnergy.com and does these composite yurts with the vertical turbine generators.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked a lot about actually the process of making these yurts in any size, particularly longhouses.
Yeah.
Using hemp, industrial
hemp,
and generating power with these vertical turbines, kind of made artistically like a DNA molecule.
Yeah.
Sticking up to catch the wind from any direction.
Oh, that's great. I've heard about that, and I'm wanting to look into that myself.
He said he'd send us out one. I'll see if I can't get him to send another one over to Many Hands Community, because, you know, it's a part of even what the product of his business does. That's kind of good advertising. Yeah, hands-on experience.
Yeah, we
like
have
that.
The wind turbine is definitely the list of ideas of things we'd like to do out here is truly vast. We have a start on a photovoltaic system. We have the equipment, and we need to just put it together. We have, right now, through Lane Community College, there's a class that is developing a whole hydrology plan for the land here, and we've started rainwater catchment systems. Once we have, you know, a secure water source for over the summer, we can begin to further our goals towards, you know, organic gardening, permaculture, landscaping, and things such as that.
That's something I saw such a huge potential when I was out there visiting with you on the land with the kids. Is, wow, especially the way the mountain comes down, step farming and the water catchments and even hydroelectric power with the I mean,
yes.
You really have quite a beautiful piece of property.
Thank you.
I didn't even get to see the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it goes for quite a ways, so it makes you wonder if I've even seen the whole thing.
Well, the good part is there will be plenty of room to actually do some of these model communities that you're talking about. Because I think you were saying you wanted like four different kinds of designs.
We'd like to implement probably a lot more than four, but these are the ones I'd like to start with, is some of the more accepted and utilized forms, such as the straw bale, such as the cob, such as, you know, some of these other things. And I really like, I want to put kids, I want the first day that they walk into a classroom to have their mind engaged already, saying, wow, what is this? This is unique. This is different. This is a different way of thinking. And so we'd like to have structures that, you know, really represent what's possible out there. We'd like to have, I mean, we currently, you know, we have things such as teepees out here. We have a Pacific yurt. We have buildings that immediately catch the imagination of the youth. So before an instructor even has a chance to open their mouth, the child is learning. And that's one of the goals that we have here.
Yeah, well, that's critical, is to get them to engage it themselves without trying to force it into some, well, into a box, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely.
What other kinds of, you were saying, you know, initially traditional designs like these, do you have some designs of your own or other more kind of outrageous things in mind you'd like to see?
Oh, well, the list, I mean, the ideas go on and on. But primarily, a lot of that depends on the people that we have to come and support this. Like I said, it's community driven. Mm-hmm. And so we already have a large group of people that are interested in learning or teaching or helping run programs that involve building with cob, building with straw bale, building with these other things. But yes, there's all sorts of structures out there, like the earthen structure that's built into the earth, the wattland daub, the, you know, earthen plaster. There's several different possibilities out there, and they will come to fruition as the community at large, you know,
chooses to implement them and show up for that barn raising, as it were.
Exactly. And, you know, this is a place that as an educational community center, it's available for adult education, it's available for youth education, and it's even available for, we want to open it up when there isn't other programming going on so that people can have retreats here and have, I can't think of the word, but basically have gatherings here.
Gatherings, that's a good
word. So that this place, the excitement of this place will become more infectious and just kind of spread out.
Oh, I can see it. Having been there, I can tell our listeners that it would really be a wonderful place for that. And as I said before, I'm looking forward to see what happens this summer with the Interfaith Youth Program.
Absolutely. Eventually, we're going to want to have, not this summer, it's too soon for this summer, but possibly next summer, in conjunction with Peace Village, we're wanting to open up summer camps where kids can come out and stay on the land for weeks at a time. We will be, with the teens, we will definitely be separating the boys from the girls.
Good luck. If they're teenagers, all I can say is good luck.
Yeah. But having, you know, a chance for them to come out and learn some of the skills of self-empowerment and balance and some, you know, non-violent communication skills and other rites of passage curriculum, and get them out here having a chance to work on these, you know, the permaculture or the organic gardens, and maybe building with cob and straw bale out here on the land, and really getting a chance to escape from the urban setting that a lot of them are stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really makes a difference if you can get them out here and working with their hands a little bit and getting into the earth itself. It's amazing just to see the light that shines up in their face.
I can imagine it. it's hopefully other people out there will start to kind of duplicate the process. There's a lot of people with land. And I know there's a lot more people now who want to start projects, and I think yours is a really good model. I was kind of discussing this with Darren a little, that it looks like federal funding now through this new interfaith program is actually going to be focused into communities through, you know, the kind of outreach programs that, that you're providing, either 501c3s or like the UCC-sponsored program that going on here. And as that becomes one of the better ways, and I think it is one of the better ways to reach out to the community, is through the faith affinity and making it interfaith so it's open to everybody.
And not limited to those that identify their faith either.
No.
So if we have youth that come in that are agnostic, or youth that, you know, come in, this curriculum really provides inspiration regardless of your spiritual belief. So,
well, clearly part of our pathway to creating a better planet, even just a balanced planet, since we, at least from my opinion, we're all spiritual beings, we've got to address that part of ourselves, I mean, even most fundamentally.
Absolutely.
Teaching the youth from a young age that they can have a different opinion without having to go to war or become in conflict with somebody else because they have a different belief, I think is just a real question.
You're breaking up a little, Stephen.
Are you still there? Breaking up?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think that that's the kids being able to discuss without conflict and share their different belief systems with the other kids is going to be a critical part of the process.
Yes, it really is. And it's being able to share their beliefs as well as their perspectives. A lot of multicultural education is going to be happening here. I'm having conversations with another organization that is trying to bridge the gap, create bridge between the communities of the Hispanic and the non-Hispanic communities here in Eugene, Springfield, and having conversations, you know, really the community at large is very much like a spider web. Each pocket community holds a strand that holds together the web and fabric of the community at large. And so in the vision that I carry, and this vision has been here for about 22 years now, I've carried this vision. And in the vision that I carry, these representatives, people, educators, and children, students alike, would come from all walks of life. And that takes it from interfaith to truly something even larger. Because
something more grounded
really
in truth and personal experience. Or maybe I should say truth from a personal experience. I notice with my kids, because I do let them use the internet and they use the Peace Portal site, they're interacting with other kids from all sorts of other cultures, which brings up questions in their minds, which luckily they freely ask us, you know, about the disparity between what they hear on the news or might learn in school or hear from their friends and what they're experiencing directly as their own truth as they deal with these people from different cultures using cyberspace.
Yeah, the world's become a whole lot smaller.
It has, and as that happens, I think it becomes even just so much more critical to have community places like your own.
Yeah.
You know, where now we can get together face to face, you know, because we're already friends.
Exactly. And I'm really excited about the work that you're doing, Stephen, as well. This is something that I had seen as part of a evolution of community was the internet and cyberspace, and really taking a look at how community develops in that medium. And so there were several ideas that you seem that you have gone much farther than I have in thinking about, but there are several ideas about developing community on the internet that Many Hands Community has been interested in. And so it's beautiful to see that someone has really taken on that work. So thank you very much for what you do.
Well, it's definitely my pleasure, and we all have our part. It's just our part seems to be holding space, literally. It's just cyberspace and giving it enough definition so that people like yourself who have the real true solutions and are doing the work on the ground have a space that's cooperative and supported, and it was created to serve humanity without prejudice, which I don't know. We don't really seem to have many of those, an equal human rights forum on the planet. At the end of the day, it seems like that's really what we're talking about is the human right of the children and ourselves to meet in peace.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, well, we're looking very forward to supporting your work as much as we can, personally and on the internet globally. And people don't have the opportunity at the moment, I know, to join the Many Hands community website so that they can get updates, or can they do that? Can they sign up for have checked for that. They can do that. Excellent. I would say there's a Peace Villages group on the website, which we can put out bulletins for and keep people informed for things like upcoming sweats or issues like that. I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah, it'd be nice to for the Many Hands community is really an umbrella organization to be able to hold space, much as you are doing in cyberspace, we're doing here on the land. And so for different organizations to be able to come in, I would like to pursue with you opening up one such as that for Many Hands community, so that all the different things. I mean, right now we have a calendar on the website, so you can see what events are happening. But if we could further develop a forum in which, youth could talk together and educators or people with ideas could come together or share their opinions about what they think and what they'd like to see happen here on the land, that would really help drive this community-supported, community-driven experience.
Well, I think it probably makes sense. In fact, you could do it next time you're visiting the site. You can create a group under groups, and I think it's time to create a Many Hands community group. And anybody who chooses to join that group, you can send them a message at any time or put a bulletin out, and they can start discussions, which anybody else can then respond to.
Excellent.
And allow that dialogue to take place. And I appreciate it being done there, because our whole purpose is there's tons of groups there now, and it's a matter of somebody comes in and they see what you're talking about and they say, hey, that's a discussion I'd like to get into, and look, here's the record of their knowledge. Right? Here's the people dealing with this, and they've been discussing it, and they've probably come to some answers already, so I don't have to reinvent the wheel and go through that process myself.
Yes, yes. Well, I will definitely be doing that right after the conclusion of this interview.
Great. Great. Well, I thought I might ask you, based on your experience, having worked so much with youth, and my feeling that, while in many ways the adults of today are able to talk more with the youth, because we're a little bit more open, having gone through the 60s and 70s, a lot of the parents. But there's still a, you know, quite a difference between the generations. And many of us don't get the chance to interact with the youth as much as you do, particularly in the kind of unique situations that you're dealing with, from schools to camps where and conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I also know you're a dad of two young girls. My kids play with yours. So what advice can you give parents about understanding the youth of today?
Well, the first and most important thing, and this is the advice that I carry in trying to understand other cultures. People ask me about understanding disability, since I am a double amputee myself. The advice that I have is to go directly to the source. Ask them, because they are hungry to tell. It may take a little prodding, because the teens realize that they aren't listened to in the community, as a rule, as a general rule of thumb. And so they may be a little reticent to begin speaking, but once you break through that initial barrier and gain their trust, they will tell you everything you need to know. The other thing I would say about it is the generation that is coming up now, by the time that they're 18, they have faced more moral decisions, they have faced more life decisions mm-hmm. than our grandparents did by the time they were 50.
Yeah, that's I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, kids today, and even all of us who use the internet in particular, and the kids, they learn more, get more information sent to them in a week than most people did in their lives for the last 10,000, 12,000, whatever, 1,000 years.
That's right. And so they realize that the world that is being handed to them is a little more fragile, a little more broken environmentally and otherwise than the previous generations received when they came into their adulthood. And so they really are looking at who are they in this new experience? Who are they in this world of global warming, this world of, the list goes on and on, but
on and on.
And so they also, because the world has become so small for them through the internet and things such as that, they are exposed to a lot more of life's experiences than I was as a child. Or that my parents were as children, even though, you know, they were becoming parents during the 60s when there was an explosion of information. And then my grandparents, they really need an opportunity to share what they know, because they know a lot more than we give them credit for.
Oh.
And they flounder because they don't often have the life experiences that we have to be able to make sense of it all. And so it's a mutual, when you approach a teenager or anyone in that regard, you really need to approach them as an equal opportunity learning experience that you'll learn from them and that they'll learn from you. And that you both have something to share and offer.
I really like that advice. Yeah. That's an excellent answer. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Well, you brought something up which I think is worth discussing because I know there's a lot of people out there who really want to go out and help change the world or follow their passion, but they feel that they're handicapped, you know, financially or with too much responsibilities. And yet here you are, you mentioned, as a double amputee, right? So you have one prosthetic arm and no other arm, and you're still using the computer, and you're doing all of this work. Irrespective of what the handicap is in the person's mind, what advice can you give people who feel handicapped that want to do this kind of work but just haven't gotten the perspective or the energy or the boost? I don't know even what to call it. I don't have that experience so much. But perhaps you can expand on that a little bit to help motivate some of those people who are feeling like they've been handicapped in some way and therefore they can't act, when in truth this is the greatest opportunity for them.
This is a very extensive conversation, and I'll try and pare it down. However, first of all, we need to realize that waiting for someone else to do it isn't going to happen. We, each member of community, needs to come together and pull our resources in order to have community thrive. And the trend over the last 8 years plus has been a moving away from a government-funded services out there to more community-funded services. And so whether it's, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Everyone has something to share, something to give. When we have work parties out here, we have disabled elderly that'll come out and you know, cheer on the people that are working, or they will sing and lift the hearts of the community that's working. Now, as far as disability is concerned, my greatest disability is not that I have no arms. My greatest disability lies in that dangerous neighborhood that lies between my ears.
Yes.
And that's
Thank you.
True for most of us. That's true for most of us. And it's not, I love that quote. Nelson Mandela, I believe, used it in a speech, although it didn't originate from him, that what we truly fear is, and I'm paraphrasing, but what we truly fear is not that we're inadequate, is not that we are powerless. What we truly fear is the power that we do have. And the responsibility that comes with that. Regardless of your situation, you have something to offer, something to teach, something to do. If your gift is to come and chop wood, that's a powerful gift. If your gift is to come and hold others in emotional support, that's a powerful gift. If you have the gift of gab, like several of us do, and talk entirely too much, that is yet another gift. So it's really, you don't have to know ahead of time what your gift is. The community is a thriving, living, breathing, evolving organism. And so you just put yourself in the middle of the community, whether it's your neighborhood community or out here at Many Hands community, wherever you go, you put yourself in the middle and see what emerges from within yourself.
Yes, through the community, your gift will bloom itself. If there's nobody there to give your gift to, then it's non-existent for all intents and purposes.
Exactly.
Um, Great, I like that. Well, I think I think you made a good point there too. We've really seen this devolution of the nation state or the welfare state, at least as it's described in a lot of the literature I look at. And it makes sense to me that as the industrial age comes to an end, we're going to start moving more into an information age, and it's going to move to a different kind of community sustainability model,
okay.
Something that really reflects the age in which we live versus that of we just take as much as we can from the earth and it will continually replenish itself without end no matter what we do.
Yeah, that is not a not a sustainable cycle right there.
Yeah, that's enough to make anybody choke.
Yeah,
exactly. So, and this is some of the things that it sounds like you're actually modeling out there is sustainability as well when you talk about power generators and new architecture and solar panels and water irrigation for food growth. So I'm assuming sustainability is a big part of the philosophy.
It is. It is. And it's being responsible for the community at large, which includes not just the people in your neighborhood, but includes, you know, it's a ripple. You throw a stone in a placid lake, and that stone ripples outwards. That first ripple is your hoop of one. That's your own individual ripple.
Mm-hmm.
That's your balance between mind, heart, body, and spirit. And then from there, you affect immediate family, then extended family and friends, and then satellite communities, and then city, state, nation, globe. And being responsible for that level of community includes those things that feed the community of which you're a part of. And that involves, you know, the land on which you live. That involves, you know, sustainable harvesting. That involves taking a look at how we have evolved as consumers and the whole concept of you buy something and its planned obsolescence means that it's going to break in a year. You know, we need to take a look at these things and decide what things we really want to keep that sustain community and what things need to fall away because it's a unsustainable process.
And yeah,
I'm not dictating that. That's entirely up for whatever community decides.
Well, it also seems to be a part of the natural evolution of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, we used to have, let's say, looking at the agricultural age, manufacturing was done by individuals, and there was enough jobs for everybody.
Yeah.
We got to the industrial age, we got machines to assembly line as much as possible. Right. Now we're in the information age, or will be when there's an economic model, since ages really are reflected mostly defined by the model, the economic model that they use. Something that returns the value back to the individual, and because of our environmental pressures, is based more on knowledge than is based on what can I extract from my natural resources.
Exactly, yeah.
And I really pray the youth get access to communities like your own and a lot of the other partners that we have all kind of working on this spider web over at Peace Portal. You know, many of which are here in Eugene, luckily, because we have one of the more active communities, I'd say, in the country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and things such as Peace Portal were very interesting, you know, for me in my early development understanding of this vision because community used to be a sustaining circle in which the gatherings of people, the work of people, the all these different things, the celebrations of people brought people together. But in the information age, and with the jobs that people are taking, moving on average once a year, it's harder for those communities to develop. So I really think that there's good work in a place for the work that like Peace Portal does that helps to bring that community consciousness back together.
Yes, thank you. That's part of our objective. We looked at the whole mega political condition and said, you know, the last time where the individual was most appreciated by the community for their skills was really the wilderness age.
Mm-hmm.
Once you got to the agricultural age, if you wanted protection for your land, you had to go to the king. So you're basically in a serf system. Right? So instead of serving your community, you're really serving this other person. Then you do what you can to create community with the other serfs, right? Or citizens, as it may be in the industrial age. Whereas in the hunter and gatherer, if I'm in your community, my skills are now the whole community is getting the benefit of them, and I'm getting the benefit of the community. And I see the information age really being the same way.
I do too, because it has universal access. We've seen the breakdown of community as parent to child was no longer passing on the trade.
Mm-hmm.
The households back in the day would have four generations living under the same roof. And they would share a lot of these satellite community events like church or school or things such as that. And with the onset of the industrial age, you know, a lot of those things fell by the wayside. Now you have two parents working out, trying to pay off the visa bill. And, you know, moving towards a lot of unsustainable purchases. But you have the breakdown of community, like what we've done systematically to the Native peoples in America, we've done to ourselves through some of these other ideas and pursuits. And so now, it used to be we talked about latchkey kids, and now it's almost a given. We have a breakdown in education where we aren't even putting the proper funds into education in order to ensure that our kids are able to cope with the realities that they're going to be confronted with. And so it's, I think, a vital and key component to bring back a structure, bring back a sense of community and a sense of belonging. You're welcome to, on my website, there's a whole thesis capstone project that I wrote for my master's degree, and it talks about this and what scientifically has proven to be things that help raise healthy adults. And a sense of belonging, social emotional learning via emotional intelligence, basically an emotional competency, develops, and that reduces the risks of, you know, addiction and abuse and violence, and it just goes on and on. But that sense of belonging and interconnectedness is a central and vibrant force that will help the youth of today live into the next seven generations, live into being able to cope and deal with the world that we're presenting them with.
See, this is where I feel the kind of thing you're doing is so critically important. I recognize that my kids, through the information age, will much more easily be able to find their affinity community because they'll have access to everywhere in the world. But that's only on the computer.
Yep.
So the other half of it is the real physical reality of community.
And an interesting aspect of that that I might add, with what we're doing down on Willamette and Broadway through Peace Village, Many Hands Community, the Network Charter School, this sort of jumping off place for this vision is we have rooted it not only in the center of the downtown Eugene, right in the hubbub, right where you're dealing with all the effects of society right there in your face. And
oh, yeah.
Concrete world. And without going too far into all of that, we're addressing it there in the center of Eugene. And at the same time, we're providing them an opportunity to get out in the woods, get out on the land and experience something other than just the urban reality.
Yeah. It's critical. It's part of our genetic and ancient structure and history, and it's in our DNA, and to not have that activated and connected in part really is what I believe in some sense takes us out of balance with our spirit.
Absolutely.
Kudos, my friend. I'm looking forward to all the different projects, both here locally and whatever we wind up doing over the internet. And
great.
Perhaps we'll have you back on again in the future. And if you ever want to host a show here on our radio channel with any of the people working with Many Hands Community as a way for them to put out some promotional material or just share their information. Because unfortunately, people don't read anymore. They just want to listen or look at pictures.
The ancient oral tradition. It's time-honored.
Yes, exactly. So once again, we are devolving back to this kind of mega political structure that is closest to the wilderness age more than anything else.
Yes.
Thank you so very much. Everybody, manyhandscommunity.org. You can check out the website, and it looks like we may have a Many Hands Community group here on Peace Portal now, and I suggest you sign up there, and we'll get updates that way and bulletins from Many Hands about things taking place, and you can start having discussions, and we'll see if our own kids in the project start using. So.
Absolutely.
Many blessings. Many blessings, Many Hands.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I very much appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and talk with you.
All right. Well, I think we'll be signing off. This is Wednesday, February 18th on the Peace Portal Media Network, and we thank you for joining us. Everybody,
right.
Have a great day.
This has been a presentation of the Peace Portal Media Network. Please join us at peaceportal.mobi, M-O-B-I.
All right. Thanks, David.